Till we continue our journey with Sister Faustina. It's November 1932. We read last time for some passages. We go back a little bit. Today, I arrived in Warsaw for the third probation. After a cordial meeting with the dear mothers, I went into the small chapel for a moment. Suddenly, God's presence filled my soul, and I heard these words: "My daughter, I desire that your heart be formed after the model of a merciful heart. You must be completely imbued with my mercy." Dear Mother Directress at once asked me whether I had had the retreat that year, and I said no. "Then you must first have a retreat, or at least 3 days." Thanks be God, there was at Warrendow an 8-day retreat in which I could take part, but difficulties arose in regard to my leaving for this retreat. A certain person opposed my going very much, and it already I was not to go. After dinner, I went into the chapel for a 5-minute adoration. Suddenly, I saw the Lord Jesus, who said to me, "My daughter, I am preparing many graces for you, which you will receive during this retreat, which you will begin tomorrow." I answered, "Jesus, the retreat was already begun, and I'm not supposed to go." And he said to me, "Get ready for it, because you will begin the retreat tomorrow. And as for your departure, I will arrange that with the superiors." At the instant, Jesus disappeared. I began to wonder how this was going to happen. But after a moment, I rejected all such thoughts and devoted the time I had to prayer, begging the Holy Spirit for light to see the whole mystery that I am. After a short while, I left the little chapel to go about my duties. Soon, Mother General Michael called me and said, "Sister, you will go to Warrendow today with Mother Valeria so that you can start the retreat tomorrow." "Fortunately, Mother Valeria happens to be here, and you can go together." Within 2 hours, I was already in Warrendow. I reflected for a moment within myself and recognized that only Jesus can arrange things in such a way. When the person who was so strongly opposed to my participation in the retreat saw me, she showed surprise and dissatisfaction. Paying no heed to this, I greeted her affectionately and went to visit the Lord in order to learn how I should conduct myself during the retreat. My conversation with the Lord Jesus before the retreat. Jesus told me that this retreat will be a little different from others. "You shall strive to maintain a profound peace in respect to your communings with me. I will remove all doubts in this regard. I know that you are at peace now, and I speak to you. But the moment I stop talking, you will start looking for doubts. But I want you to know that I will affirm your soul to such a degree that even if you wanted to be troubled, it will not be within your power. And as a proof that it is I who am speaking to you, you will go to confession on the second day of the retreat to the priest who is preaching the retreat. You will go to him as soon as he has finished his conference and will present to him all your doubts concerning me. I will answer you through his lips, and then your fears will end. During this retreat, observe such strict silence that it will be as though nothing exists around you. You shall speak only to me and to your confessor. You will ask your superiors only for penances. I felt immense joy that the Lord would show me such kindness and lower himself so much for my sake. The first day of the retreat, I tried to be the first in the chapel in the morning. Before the meditation, I had a bit of time for prayer to the Holy Spirit and to Our Lady. I earnestly begged the Mother of God to obtain for me the grace of fidelity to these inner inspirations and of faithfully carrying out God's will, whatever it might be. I began this retreat with a very special kind of courage. Struggled to keep silence. As usual, sisters from various houses came to the retreat. One of the sisters, whom I had not seen for a long time, came to my cell and said she had something to tell me. I did not answer her, and she saw that I did not want to break silence. She said to me, "I didn't know you were such an eccentric sister," and she went away. I was well aware that she had no other business with me than to satisfy her own curious self-love. Oh God, preserve me in faithfulness. To keep silence is not always easy. Not even though you want to be silent, the other people might disturb you. The father who preached the retreat came from America. He had come to Poland for only a short time. It was so happened that he conducted our retreat. A deep interior knife was reflected from this person. His bearing testified to the greatness of his spirit. Mortification and recollection characterized this priest. But despite these great virtues, I experienced much difficulty in revealing my soul to him regard to graces received. As for sins, it's always easy to do so, but in respect to grace, I really have to make a great effort. And even then, I do not tell everything. Satan's temptations during meditation. I felt a strange fear that the priest would not understand me, or that he would have no time to hear everything I would have to say. How am I going to tell him this? If it were Father Bukowski, I could do it more easily. But this Jesuit, whom I am seeing for the first time, then I remembered whom I am seeing for the first time. Then I remembered Father Bukowski's advice that I should be at least take brief looks on the lights sent to me by God during the retreats and give him at least a brief report on them. My God, for a day and a half, all has gone well, and now a life and death struggle is beginning. The conference is to start in a half hour, and then I'm going to confession. Satan tried to persuade me into believing that if my superiors have told me that my inner life is an illusion, why should I ask again and trouble the confessor? Didn't Mother Jane tell me that the Lord Jesus does not commune with souls as miserable as yours. This confessor is going to tell you the same thing. Why speak to him about this? These are Lord's sins. A mother so-and-so told me that all this communing with the Lord Jesus was daydreaming and pure hysteria. So I tell it to this confessor, you would do better to dismiss all this as illusions. Look how many humiliations you have suffered because of them, and how many more are still awaiting you. And all the sisters know that you are hysteric. Jesus, I call out with all the strength of my soul. So it's temptation not to go to confess to this confessor, because Jesus asked her to go. But temptation say, why? Don't have to go. Might have to go. You have so much suffering. Why add in one more suffering? At the moment, the priest came in and began the conference. He spoke for a short time, as if he were in a hurry. After the conference, he went over to the confessional. Seeing that none of the sisters were going there, I sprang from my pillar and in an instant was in the confessional. She was supposed to be there, but she dared not. She's waited. There was no time to deliberate. Instead of telling the father about doubts that had been shown in me in respect to my dealings with the Lord Jesus, I began to speak about these temptations I have just described above. It's good, eh? To share the doubts. The confessor immediately understood my situation and said, "Sister, you distrust the Lord Jesus because he treats you so kindly. Well, sister, be completely at peace. Jesus is your master, and your communing with him is neither daydreaming, nor hysteria, nor illusion." That's a confirmation. The first time they did it, how Jesus works through different people. Know that you are on the right path. Please, try to be faithful to these graces. You are not free to shun them. You do not need at all, sister, to tell your superiors about these interior graces, unless the Lord Jesus instructs you clearly to do so. And even then, you should first consult with your confessor. But if the Lord Jesus demands something external, in this case, after consulting your confessor, you should carry out what he asks of you, even if it costs you greatly. On the other hand, you must tell the confessor everything. There is absolutely no other course for you to take. Pray that you may find a spiritual director, or else you will waste these great gifts of God. I repeat once again, be at peace. You are following the right path. Take no heed of anything else, but always be faithful to the Lord Jesus, no matter what anyone else says about you. It is with just such miserable souls that the Lord Jesus communes in this intimate way. And the more you humble yourself, the more the Lord Jesus will unite himself with you. When you feel miserable, the more you're loved by the Lord. Don't say, "I'm miserable." The Lord looks at you, watching you more closely than any other person. When I felt and I left the confessional, an ineffable joy filled my soul, so that I withdrew to a secluded spot in the garden to hide myself from the sisters, to allow my heart to pour itself out to God. God's presence penetrates me And in an instant, all my nothingness was drowned in God. And at the same moment, I felt, or rather discerned, the free divine person dwelling in me. And I had such a great peace in my soul that I myself was surprised that I could have had so many misgivings. And then I had resolution. Faithfulness to interior inspirations, even though I would have no idea how much I would have to pay for it. I must do nothing on my own without first consulting the confessor, not the superior. The confessor's special grace for her soul. We knew of vows. From the moment I woke up in the morning, my spirit was totally submerged in God, in the ocean of love. I felt that I had been completely immersed in Him. During Holy Mass, my love for Him reached the peak of intensity. After the renewal of vows and Holy Communion, I suddenly saw the Lord Jesus, who said to me with great kindness, "My daughter, look at my merciful heart." As I fixed my gaze on the most sacred heart, the same rays of light, as are represented in the main in the image as blood and water, came forth from it, and I understood how great is the Lord's mercy. And again, Jesus said to me with kindness, "My daughter, speak to priests about this inconceivable, mercy of mine. The flames of mercy are burning me, clamoring to be spent. I want to keep pouring them out upon souls. Souls just doesn't want to believe in my goodness." So Jesus answered, "Speak to the priests." So I suppose I'm one of the priests that is want to speak that merciful divine mercy. Suddenly Jesus disappeared, but throughout that whole day my spirit remained immersed in God's tangible presence, despite the booths and chatter that usually followed the retreat. It did not disturb me in the least. My spirit was in God. Although externally I took part in the conversations, even went to visit Derby. Today, we are beginning the third probation. All three of us met at Mother Margaret's, and the other sisters were having their probation in the novitiate. Mother Margaret began with a prayer, explained to us what the third probation consists of, and then spoke on how great is the grace of the perpetual vows. Suddenly I began to cry out loud. In an instant, all God's graces appeared before the eyes of my soul, and I saw myself so wretched and ungrateful toward God. The sisters began to rebuke me, saying, "Why did you break out crying?" But Mother Margaret came to my defense, saying that she was not surprised. At the end of the hour, I went before the Blessed Sacrament, like the greatest and most miserable of wretches. I begged for His mercy that He might heal and purify my poor soul. Then I heard these words, "My daughter, all your miseries have been consumed in the flame of my love, a little twig thrown into the roaring fire. By humbling yourself in this way, you draw upon yourself and upon other souls an entire sea of my mercy." I answered, "Jesus, mold my poor heart according to your divine delight." Throughout the third probation, it was my duty to help the sister in the vestiary. This duty gave me many occasions to practice virtues. Sometimes I had to take linen to a certain sister's three times and steal one could have satisfied them. But I also came to recognize the great virtues of some sisters who always ask for the poorest things from the vestibule. I admired the spirit of humility and mortification. During Advent, a great yearning for God arose in my soul. My spirit rushed toward God with all its might. During that time, the Lord gave me much light to know His attributes. The attributes which the Lord gave me to know is His holiness. His holiness so great that all the powers and virtues trembled before Him. The pure spirits veil the faces and lose themselves in unending adoration. And with one single word, they express the highest form of adoration, that is, holy. The holiness of God is poured out upon the Church of God and upon every living soul in it, but not in the same degree. There are souls who are completely penetrated by God, but they are those who are barely alive. The second kind of knowledge which the Lord grants me concerns His justice. His justice is so great and penetrating it that it reaches deep into the heart of things, and all things stand before Him in naked truth, and nothing can withstand Him. The third attribute is love and mercy. And I understood that the greatest attribute is love and mercy. It unites the creatures with the Creator. This immense love and abyss of mercy are made known in the incarnation of the Word and in the redemption of humanity. And it is here that I saw this as the greatest of all God's attributes, love and mercy. Today, I was cleaning the room of one of the sisters. Although I was trying to clean it with utmost care, she kept following me all the time and said, "You have left a speck of dust here and a spot of the floor there." The same experience, Sister Teresa of Lisieux, no? When she was doing these things, and some sister always overlooking her, and she's pointing to her. The saints always have this kind of temptations. In each of her remarks, I did each place over a dozen times, just to satisfy her. It is not work that makes me tired, but all this talking and excessive demands. My whole day's martyrdom was not enough for her. So she went to the directress and complained, "Mother, who is this careless sister who doesn't know how to work quickly?" The next day, I went again to do the same job without trying to explain myself. When she started driving me, I thought, "Jesus, one can be a silent martyr. It's not the work that wears you out, but this kind of martyrdom." I think you might have some kind of experience. Some kind of experience, huh? Like, I don't know who is pointing you. "I don't know, think this way, not this way, not this way and that way, this way and not that way." Isn't it? Exactly the same. If a sister can experience this in the convent, so much so, in a house that there's no people who doesn't believe in God, doesn't believe in love. They just point out to you, to your nose, "You didn't do it this way, that way," right? But she said, "Jesus, one can be a silent martyr." Silent martyr. They don't cut your head off, but you have to be silent. And through martyrdom, it's not a work that wears you out. That to Jesus now. Jesus suffered martyrdom, but only on the cross, not only blood and flesh. Yes, silence, martyrdom. I learned that certain person have a special gift for vexing others. They try you as best they can. The poor soul that falls into their hands can do nothing right. Her best efforts are maliciously criticized. Just on earth, there are some people like that. Not all, I mean. Fortunately, not all. But there are some. No explanation. What we can explain is that Jesus and now this happened to you to mold you into like him. I think that's the only reason. Christmas Eve. Today I was closely united with Mother of God. I relieved her interior sentiments. In the evening, before the ceremony of the breaking of the water, I went into the chapel to break the wafer in spirit with my loved ones. And I asked the Mother of God for graces for them. My spirit was totally steeped in God. During the midnight mass, I saw the child Jesus in the host, and my spirit was immersed in him. Although he was a tiny child, his majesty penetrated my soul. I was humiliated to the depths of my being by this mystery, this great abasement on the part of God, this inconceivable emptying of himself. These sentiments remained vividly alive in my soul all through the festival season. Oh, we shall never comprehend this great self-abasement on the part of God. The more I think of it, quote, unfinished thought, not finished, the sentence. She said meditation and forget the words. One morning after Holy Communion, I heard this voice. I decide that you accompany me when I go to the sick. I answered that I was quite willing, but after moments of reflection, I started wondering how I was going to do so. The seats of the second floor do not accompany the Blessed Sacrament. It is always the sister directresses who go. I thought to myself, Jesus will find a way. Shortly afterwards, Mother Raphael sent for me and said, Sister, you will accompany the Lord Jesus when the priests go to visit the sick. And all through the time of my probation, I carried the light, accompanied the Lord, and as a knight of Jesus, I always tried to gird myself with an iron belt, for it would not be proper to accompany the king in everyday dress, as I offer this mortification for the sick. Holy hour. During this hour, I tried to meditate on the Lord's passion, but my soul was filled with joy, and suddenly I saw the child Jesus. But his majesty penetrated me to such an extent that I said, Jesus, you are so little, and yet, Lord, you are my creator and Lord. And Jesus answered me, I am, and I keep company with you as a child to teach you humility and simplicity. For you, Jesus accompanied you as a child to teach you humility and simplicity. So there is, even though some point is still pointing at you, Jesus accompanied you, the child Jesus accompanied you with simplicity and humility.